above all things the truth comes out. We also hear in the voice of experience, the experience of America as a society. What promises that the abortion rights movement ever made have been fulfilled in our country? Has the promise that abortion would reduce poverty among women been fulfilled? Has it the promise that it would reduce domestic violence and child abuse been fulfilled? No, we have seen just the opposite. And there's another fascinating book that I'm going to point out to you. This is all right on the up-to-the-minute things that are coming out here. The Cost of Abortion, a study by Lawrence Roberge, analyzing the impact of abortion on American society. It's an analysis of the social, economic, and demographic effects of abortion in the United States. He goes into such things in here as the impact that it has had on adoptions, which is obvious. No babies available to so many couples because they've been aborted. But he also analyzes the effect on the fertility rate, the health of women in various ways, on the field of education and the employment of teachers, and on things like the gross domestic product and personal income growth. This is a fascinating study. He uses government statistics and government studies to point to the devastating impact that abortion has on our society. And this is really just the beginning of the study. And if you want to get this study, let me refer you to where you can get it. Just call 1-800-552-1098. That's 552-1098, and ask for the cost of abortion. Now, this is very important for a reason that I'm going to expand on in just a second. But another voice that is speaking out, showing that abortion is a dead end, is simply the voice of the American people themselves. We learned something in the summertime of 95 and in November and December of 95, we learned that the American people really don't know what the word abortion means until they see the diagrams that explain some of the procedures. And the hearings that were held on the partial birth abortion procedure, and the diagrams that were shown over national television and that were reprinted in so many newspapers across the country, woke a lot of people up. A survey indicated that 71% of the American public does not think that this barbarity should be permitted. And that includes many people who identify themselves with the pro-choice label. What has happened? The gap has been closed between the word abortion and the actual reality of what it is. And that's why the question to people, are you pro-life or pro-choice, is practically meaningless. Don't let anyone sidetrack you or confuse you or distract you with any such claim that whatever percentage of people they claim call themselves pro-choice. Well, what in the world does that mean? If you want to see where the American public is on abortion, you have to ask this question: under what circumstances do you think abortion should be permitted? That's the crucial question. And then you see that more of the people think the way we do than the way that the promoters of abortion do. Specifically, if you look at the number of people that think that, number one, all abortion should be illegal, should not be permitted, or that it should be permitted only to save the life of the mother, which medically isn't necessary anyway, or should only be permitted in cases of the life of the mother, rape or incest, which you put together, you get about 1% or less of all the abortions that occur anyway. How many American people are you talking about? 52%. According to the latest study that just came out, was commissioned by the NCCB, and they had the Karen's group do this study. 52% of the American people are saying that no abortion should be permitted, except maybe, and this is just some of them, life of the mother, rape, or incest is only about 1% of the abortions. So 52% of the American people are calling for an end, by law, to 99% of the abortions that are taking place. And then you go further, and you see that you can ask the question, should it be allowed, but only in the first 3 months? And you get a substantial number of people saying that, and probably most of them not even aware that it does take place after 3 months. And then you have another group, and this is of course going more towards the far extreme of the pro-abortion movement. Well, yeah, it should be allowed, but not after 6 months. And then finally you have a small percentage saying it should be allowed at any time for any reason. Now, brothers and sisters, the American people are more with us than they are with the promoters of abortion. Now, these are all signs that this is on its way out. And you know what another strong sign is? This is a very strong sign. Why is it that the practice of abortion in our country, which has been legalized through all 9 months of the pregnancy, for any reason or no reason, for 23 years, with the government solidly behind it, with the media solidly behind it, with finances that far surpass anything that we have, why is it that this activity cannot be performed without protests, police cars, federal marshals, state laws, all kinds of efforts to make something happen that should happen naturally, if it's some sort of constitutional right that everyone's heart and soul is really longing for, because after all, it's an expression of American freedom. How is it that it hasn't settled in? Well, I go to abortion facilities sometimes and see a few pro-life people praying there. You got as many police cars as you have people there protesting. I said, what in the world is going on here? Why can't this just happen in peace? Well, it's because as soon as you trample on the rights of one human being, there is no peace. There is no peace. We are not the troublemakers. We are simply exposing the trouble that's already there. And the more we expose it, the more America can't live with it. I'm pointing out to you here some of the consequences of legalized abortion. We shouldn't think that means that's why it's wrong. No, it's not wrong because of the negative consequences. It's wrong because it's wrong in itself. It's wrong because it is an injustice. It takes an innocent human life. But brothers and sisters, what I'm recommending to you tonight practically is this. Don't let people, whether it's your next door neighbor, whether it's someone at home or someone you work with, or people that are writing in the media, or counter-demonstrating, or whoever it is, people on the other side of the issue in the government, don't let them isolate or think that they can isolate the issue of abortion from their other concerns or from the other concerns of America. This is the strategy of the other side. They don't mind that we're having this banquet tonight. They don't mind even that we're pro-life. What they mind is when we try to make the society pro-life again. And you see, they want to isolate the issue. Oh, well, that's abortion. That's what you think about abortion. Well, let's talk about something else. Let's talk about the things that I'm really concerned about. And you know as well as I, if we try to have pro-life talks or try to get people out to hear the truth about this, so many of them don't come. They don't want to hear about it. How do we get them to hear about what they have to hear about? Not because they want to hear about it, but because they have to. By linking it with things that they are concerned about. You have lots of people out there supporting legal abortion because they think that legal abortion is safe for women. And so we've got to show them the evidence. It isn't safe for women. You got a lot of people out there that couldn't care less about abortion, but they care a lot about the economy. So I've got to show them that abortion takes a toll on the economy. You see what I'm saying? And link it up. Use the evidence that has been coming out and that's coming out more and more. That doesn't mean we're less focused on the baby. What it means is people just don't get it yet. And you've got to leave them starting with things that they do get and that they are concerned about. And you know what? When a person grasps a part of the truth, they can be led to the whole truth. But it's often by a part of the truth grasping them first, where they can most receive it, that then, if they have even not just a little bit of honesty and goodwill, the entire truth will break through. Be confident. The fact of what I'm saying, that this nonsense is collapsing, the fact of what I'm saying, brothers and sisters, should give us, on the one hand, utter and complete confidence. Don't worry about the truth. It will prevail. What we have to worry about is ourselves, whether we'll be on the right side of it, or whether we will be able to say at the end of our lives that we have borne sufficient witness to it and helped others to get on the right side of it. But don't worry. Oh, don't worry, the truth will prevail. Utter confidence, and then at the same time, complete humility. Because we stumble and fumble along trying to do our best to defend our youngest brothers and sisters. But the success comes because of the power of the truth. And this does not mean do less. If it means anything, it means do more. Wouldn't it be sad if right at the moment when this whole thing is tumbling down, right at that moment, if people started to say, well, this has been a long struggle, I think I'm going to turn my attention and my efforts to something else. No, brothers and sisters, this is the moment to call our people to push even harder, to speak even louder, to proclaim with even more confidence the message that we've been proclaiming for so long, because I'm convinced that in our lifetime, now, by the way, some people would laugh at some of the things I'm saying here tonight. And I'm not saying these things off the top of my head. I am extremely blessed and privileged to be able to focus as my full-time work on this problem of abortion. To travel constantly. Sometimes I go through the course of the day, I honestly forget what state I'm in, and I have to think about it for a minute. I'm constantly moving all around, meeting with great people like you, consulting with others in leadership. And brothers and sisters, these are conclusions I'm coming to from what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing. I'm convinced that in our lifetime, we're going to have another banquet, just like this. And I'll even come back for it. And it will be in celebration of victory. It will be in celebration. Something new in America. Oh, not really new, because it was there for a long time. But we lost our way for a little while. Something new because we came back. And we got the law back. And we have public repentance. And we're sorry. And we've decided to start a new chapter in American life, which is new only because it goes back to the very foundational principles on which the country was established in the first place. That all people are equal, and that they're given their right to life, not by the government, not by their mother, but by God. Brothers and sisters, we will have that celebration. We will dance and rejoice for joy. And until that time, keep in mind these words that Archbishop Fulton Sheen said. He said, you know, the world and our society is tearing up the photographs of what it means to be human and what it means to respect life. But we are keeping the negatives. And when the world is weary of its covenant with death, it will go in search of the ones who remember. We will go in search of the ones who can remind them what life is and why it's precious. When they go in search of the ones who can remind them, I have shown you that more and more are doing exactly that. We will be there. Continue speaking the truth. God bless you.